About 2 months ago, Leon was here, and he ministered incredibly. But he prophesied one night when he was laying hands on me and Vaughan as we were sitting out here on the chairs. And one of the things he said was, we're on the verge of great signs and wonders of healing power that's going to start to take place. And I woke up this morning, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me as clear as daylight and said, the time's now. Start stepping out for the big miracles. So from tonight, I want you to bring the blind, the deaf, whatever. We're just going to step right out there. I've seen God do this over the years many times, but it's time to step out. And the Lord says, you watch what I'll do. You step out. And so we're going to do that. And so this is not some promotion just to try and get you out here. We should want to be here if we're going to see things like that. And we're just going to start to do it. And every Sunday night, we'll be dedicating. I mean, the joy can fall. God can do whatever he likes. But he's put on my heart strongly to go for those big miracles. So I'm going to be intensely seeking God because I want that thing to come right through. And so if you can join me in your faith and inviting people along with these sicknesses and diseases, we're just going to lay hands and watch God begin to do what he can do best. Bless you.
Yeah, stay there.
Yeah.
So who here has ever been healed by a touch from God? Raise your hands, please. It's a wonderful thing when God touches you. In fact, Kristen, why don't you come out and quickly give that testimony, please, Ben's Rehab. Stand right there. Nobody will notice you.
For the last 2 years, I've been pretty sick. I had stage 3 Lyme disease that ate the muscle around my heart, deteriorated a lot of my intestines, my muscles, and my legs. I woke up mornings where I couldn't walk down the road, down the hall, and I went from running 5 miles a day to not being able to do anything. And they were testing for fibromyalgia, NMS, which I tested positive 2 months ago for. And I had my heart drained twice and a PICC line in to put medicine into my heart for about 2 months. And I was supposed to have it for 3 months, and they took it out last week. And all tests that I've had in the last 2 weeks have come back all negative for everything.
Yes! Oh! Thank you all.
About a week ago Sunday, last Sunday night, I was sitting here and just wasn't feeling the worship at all. And I knew that, like, if I didn't give myself to God fully, that nothing was going to work. And I realized at that moment that when you're trying to hold back from God, he's going to hold back from you. And that if you don't do everything that you can to hold into him, he's not going to work with you. And he'll work the way that you want him to work. And if you keep pushing him away, he's going to pull away.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you. Kristen's been coming to the meetings for several weeks, many weeks. And just want to encourage each and every one of you that even Jesus didn't heal everybody first time. Amen. And we need to keep coming and coming and coming and let God keep ministering to you, touching you, open up our hearts. Somebody had a beautiful thing yesterday. Alice, why don't you share that about...
Last night during worship, it was just a beautiful time and a strong presence of love. And God just began to show me how I viewed myself, that I was viewing myself as like a paper mache creation. You know, you get the balloon and you add layer upon layer upon layer of the wet newspaper. And I thought I was doing so many good things. You know, this layer was a good friendship, and this layer was something I was doing, and this layer was this, and this layer was that. And all I was doing was building up layer upon layer, but the middle was air. And then God showed me what I needed to do was to trust him and to submit myself into his hands, and that he would chisel away out of solid rock to reveal a beautiful statue that is there. But as he chisels away, and I kept thinking, I add, instead of understanding that he takes away and takes away to reveal who we are.
Amen. Amen. Let everybody see that. Let everybody see that. We've been made in the image and the likeness of God. And then we've packed everything on the outside. It's just paper mache. And God wants to take it all away. And there we are. There we are. And when the Lord spoke to us a few weeks ago that if you want to know what the church is, take away everything that's not the church, and there it is. Praise God. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you. One more quick testimony. Kelly, come on, come talk to us. Don't groan at me, girl. You can stand up there next to my wife.
Do you want me to share what I shared last night?
Yeah, just a quick version.
Okay. Okay, so was it Friday? What's today, Sunday? It was Friday night. We were in worship, and I've been coming up, and I get, like closer and closer every time. So here I am, like, giving all my all and singing at the top of my lungs, and, I was getting filled up with God's love. I was, feeling it, so much. God loves me, and I'm taking it in. And then, I looked up, and I saw Jesus, standing there, and, he's, giving me all this love. And then when I looked at him, he was, empty, like an empty glass. And I realized that I needed to love him back, and not just a little bit, not just like some of my love, but all of it, because he needed to be filled up too, because he has so much love that he's giving out all the time, and he needs it back from all of us. And the more and more and more of us that come in here, and the more and more and more of us give our whole soul, our whole heart, like everything to him, then he can give it back. And as I got this feeling, I saw him filling up. Somebody was pouring, into him, and he started filling up, and then just pure love started coming out of his fingertips and his eyes and his nose, everything, and it was shooting back at me so powerfully. And I was just standing there, and I realized that I've been holding back, or if we hold back anywhere in our lives, because I'm scared, because I'm fearful, because people have hurt me, people have hurt me really bad, and I carry that around. So I don't want to give my all, because I'm scared I'm going to be hurt. And I realized that, and as his love was coming out at me, he was saying to me that I'm never going to hurt you, not even a little. Nothing, never going to steal from you, lie to you, hurt you, put you in any kind of harm's way, nothing at all. But you have to give your whole self to me. I'm never going to let you down.
How long have you known the Lord, Kelly?
Oh, 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
I'm getting really blessed by enjoying the young people when they share what God's done for them. Even us old ones, I've been saved for 30 years, and I tend to forget that first love of the salvation experience that I had and the revelations that I had. But through the young people sharing, I'm enjoying it all over again. So us old ones out there who've known Jesus for a long time, we can get excited because it brings back memories of when we gave our all to Jesus, when we laid our lives on the altar, our family, our finances, everything. And it's a great time to go back to that and remember that time.
Amen. So I want to encourage all of you that, if your relationship with Jesus, if your experience with Jesus isn't really tangible, and that you can actually point to the Bible and say, I'm having this experience, I'm having that experience, then what is going on in our lives? Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things, because I go to my Father. So I just want to encourage you that as a church, that's where we're going. That's the hunger we're after. We're not going to be satisfied anymore with some kind of little smoke from the fire or spray from the river. I don't want to be on the bank when somebody else jumps in and gets immersed in the river of God and I get a little splash on me. I'm not going to do that anymore. So as the pastor, as the lead pastor of this church, just want to encourage you that that's where we're going. We are meeting here Tuesday through Friday morning, 6 to 8 a.m. for prayer. We are very serious about pursuing God. I want to see a move of God that's going to change our lives. It's going to change our city. That's going to affect our nation. It's not enough. Just want to encourage all of you to let you know what kind of church King's Fire International is. We're not a church that's going to compromise anymore. We're not a church that's going to be built around people. We're going to be a church that's built around the glory of God. Amen. And so the idea of the church is to be built on the rock of Christ Jesus, not the flippant attitude of us people. So I just want everybody to understand that, because that's where we're going. That's the hunger we have. When you come to these meetings on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and watch these young people. Last night, we were worshiping. Young people began to just fall down. Nobody touched them. Nobody was praying. We were worshiping. They were falling on the floor. And then they were on their face, on their knees, until the end came that there was no way I could preach. I couldn't preach. And just the whole meeting was open to testimonies like you've just heard. So I want to encourage you, if you're coming to church and you're expecting this, this, and this, we can't guarantee that anymore. We are going to be a church with a challenge. We are going to be a church that's going to lay out what we thoroughly believe the Word of God expects of those people that have been bought at a price, where the Bible says you are no longer your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Him. So I just want to encourage you in that. We also a church that's extremely generous. I don't know where to start with that, but we've sent food to Zimbabwe, as you know. 24 tons of food we sent to Zimbabwe. The worst country in the world at the moment is Zimbabwe. The most suffering nation in the world is Zimbabwe. We were able to send. We built a well for the pastor in that country because the water in his city, the capital of the country, was undrinkable. But we were able to build a well for him. We bought trucks and drove them down from Holland to Zambia. We have adopted a village in Zambia, a village that has been devastated by AIDS. So we've been part of building 21 schools in Zambia. We're sending folks down to Zambia this month and in September, as well as to Jamaica and Guatemala and different places. We want to let you know that is what we're doing. We're going to be reaching the people in our city. Yesterday, who went to Woodstock on the outreach? Are you here? Stand up, please. Stand up. Yay. These folks went on an outreach to Woodstock and confronted all the darkness and evil that's going on in that city. We thank God for you. We're having evangelism classes on Saturday. We want to let you know who we are. We're no longer a passive, quiet church. We do not believe God is a pacifist. He's a peacemaker. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. And we want to understand these things, that this is who God is. God is not just a lamb. Yes, the sacrificial lamb is what saved my life, what cleansed me from all unrighteousness. But God is mighty in battle. God is a warrior. God is coming back to this earth, and all those who are not saved, He will pour His wrath on them. And that wrath will be worse than any war that anything has ever witnessed. It will be worse than Stalin or Lenin or Mao Zedong or anything that ever happened through Pol Pot or anything else you've ever read that happened in Rwanda. It will be far worse than that. I want to encourage you to think about this. We must consider the goodness and the severity of God. But the good news is, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that lets us let go of what we define life as. And Jesus said, man, that's not life. I'm life. And until we come to His life, we really do not understand life. So I just wanted to say that before we dismiss the children, we, of course, would need to receive our tithes and offerings. We are a giving church. Can somebody say amen?
Yes.
And we do believe in the tithe belongs in the storehouse. We do believe that 10% of your gross income belongs to God. The first fruits do not go to Uncle Sam or your 401k. They go to God. So, ushers, as you come forward, you can write your checks out to KFI, King's Fire International. And we appreciate each and every one of you. You are a generous people. We have done much. We've done all kinds of things. We bought printing press for Zanzibar. We built a library in Zanzibar, an island that is over 90% Muslim. A library there for all Christian books, for all the pastors. All the time there's something happening going out from this church. So, Father, I just want to thank you. I want to bless you. I want to glorify you for this day. Thank you for the generous spirits in our hearts. And I thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, ushers. So while I'm just standing here, but before we dismiss the children, I want to say that we are a missional church. We've already seen the young people that are going to Jamaica. There's 21 people going to Jamaica. Wait a minute, they're not first. First, Sharon, who's going with you? To stand up, Sharon. Sharon is going to Zambia with David, and Jeremy is going. Oh, there's go. Stand up, guys.
Yeah.
And let your mother get all the glory. These three are going to Zambia. They're going to help on the Life Project down there in Zambia. We're also part of a program of growing produce down there to help feed the people. Of course, we have Love 146. Love 146 is an organization that we're behind for the abolition of sex slavery. The abolition of sex slavery. Love146.org. You must check that out on YouTube. Love146. You must look at that. It's a YouTube that is 2 minutes 38 seconds, and when I saw it, it changed my life. Please look it up. I'm just saying this because I need to say this with as much humility as I can muster. We are the biggest little church in the Northeast. Hallelujah. And we've made a decision. The Bible says those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits in his name. Can you say amen? Dismiss the children.
Well, at this time we want to release our children to go downstairs for our children's program and our kids' welcome. So sit down, kids. We just wanted you to bow your heads. Let's get them quiet their eyes. Lord, we just thank you for our children today, Lord God. We release them into your care. Let them be great, obedient children downstairs for the teachers. And let them be blessed today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be released. Let's walk out slowly.
Praise God. Walk out slowly. Again, I want to remind you of all our meetings every week. King's Fire School. Or King's College, as I want to call it. Hallelujah. It's every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Somebody say Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And also Saturday morning at 9. And then we have meetings Friday night and Sunday night. They were particularly the revival healing meetings and impartation. And then, of course, we have our regular services on Saturday evening and Sunday morning. So I want to touch on a few things, and again, I want to welcome everybody. If it's the first time you've been to this church, probably this is not your mother's church. Hallelujah. And we are not ashamed of the gospel. For several years, I guess, there's been a different emphasis, and we used to be called the Vineyard Church, and we are not anymore the Vineyard Church. We are now King's Fire International. And a couple of reasons, I'm just going to do the simple version. You know, people have asked, why are we not a Vineyard Church anymore? So obviously an excellent question. There's a few just simple reasons, and nothing's that profound. But one of them, you may remember several weeks ago, I preached about an apostolic church and how the church is built upon apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. This is written many times. It's especially in the book of Ephesians. And so these things are important to understand, and apostolic. We will not be matured by churches that are only run by pastors, because a pastor is only one element of the facet, the multifaceted reality of Jesus Christ. Of course, we must have pastors. In fact, we have a pastoral team in this church. If you could stand up, guys, if you're here. Pastor Don, Pastor Tony, Gary, and Josh must be downstairs, and I know Rich is out of town. We have five men and their wives who are part of the pastoral team. And myself, I don't know what to call me, the lead pastor, I don't know what I am, the set man. But my primary call in the body of Christ is actually an apostolic prophet. And people get scared by the word prophet. Don't get scared. Jesus was a prophet, and much more than a prophet, of course. Many men in the Bible were named prophets. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see them. And these are important things, because prophets and apostles have a different gifting, a different calling, a different approach to life, a different approach to the gospel, a different demand put upon them in government and maturity. You can't be matured just by pastors. The purpose of a pastor is to lead you and guide you and to cause you to lie down, as the Bible says, Psalm 23. But I want to understand that if a church is only being pastored, then ultimately the church will lie down. And that's why we can't have only pastors. That's why we need the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers according to the book of Ephesians and many other places in the Bible. So just touch on that, that the fact that the Vineyard had 630 churches and they had 630 pastors, nobody was ever recognized as an apostle, never recognized as a prophet, and that was okay. Now, the other major thing is that the Vineyard never really was my DNA. It never was my DNA. I don't know how to explain that, but there's certain ways God make us and that we just fit and dit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're either Cinderella or you ain't. And you try to put somebody else's shoe on, it ain't going to work. You get my point. And, of course, for all the years that I traveled and ministered as a prophet, I was recognized by hundreds of pastors around the world. I have ministered in about 40 countries, in 300 or 400 churches. And I'm only saying that because I'm not trying to justify myself, because obviously he is the just and the justifier. Doesn't matter what I've done, it does not justify me. We are only justified by the blood of Jesus. And so, but I'm just saying this because my heart for the nations and my heart for what I felt I saw God move in, I spoke to all the leaders of the Vineyard. And their best advice to me, which I took to heart, was, well, figure it out, Vaughn. And we did. Another thing was my personal gift was not recognized very much within the Vineyard Church. Therefore, there was no actual room for me to grow in that situation. I'm not making it purely personal, but that is a big reality. So that's reason 2, 3, and 4 at the moment. The reason number one is on February 9th, God spoke to me. It was time to leave the Vineyard. On February the 9th, I was over there, curled up in a ball before God. It was the fourth day of the revival, and God spoke to me clearly. It was time to leave. And what happened is I began to talk to people because, like everything else, when you hear from God, and I want you to hear this, please. When you hear from God, like Joseph heard from God, does everybody know in the Bible how Joseph heard from God? Joseph heard from God. Do you remember he was the one with the technicolor dream coat? And Joseph heard from God, and the first thing he did was say it immediately. He said to his brothers and his father, hey, guys, I just had a vision from God. God just spoke to me. What? He said, you're going to bow down to me. They said, nice. And threw him in a pit and sold him to slavery. So being as I didn't fancy that, I began to ponder the word that God had given me. As the Bible says, when Mary had a visitation, she pondered these things in her heart. So I pondered these things in my heart and only spoke to two people in this house. And then I began to inquire outside and I began to make a couple of assumptions. And I want to say this, you can hear from God and then you can misinterpret what you hear from God. So I heard from God and then thought I was going to line up with this person. And I was advised, no, no, no. So I thought, okay, let me hold it. And I kept praying and seeking God till in the end I did hear from God about what we should do. And the same people that said no said yes. That's what happens when you make yourself accountable. At the moment, we are developing an apostolic council called King's Fire International. And on that council is going to be an oversight of, we believe, several churches. In fact, since the revival has begun, Pastor Don, who had a church across town, has already closed his doors and come and joined us. So that we've already had a church join us since we've been doing this. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Dr. Leon from Global Ministries and Relief is part of our covering, of course, Overland Missions. And Steve is leaving this week to go down to Orlando where he's meeting with four other ministers, or five actually, to also for us to continue to align ourselves with people who think the same way, that apostolic revivalist mentality. We believe the church needs to be revived. We believe the church needs to come alive. We believe the fact that what is revival, accept a new love in your heart for Jesus and everything he says. How can you love a man and yet not be part of what he commissioned us to do? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's something that is an essential. If you want a good marriage, you've got to find out what is your spouse's love language. Is anybody listening to me? You're to find out what is your spouse's love language. Thank God, one of Wendy's love languages is not shopping. Hallelujah. One of her love languages and most of her love languages we're okay with, but we have to work on these things. And I want to tell you, Jesus has a love language. And his love language is go ye. That's his love language. So therefore, we need to be part of the love language of God. Preach, teach, make disciples, and be witnesses throughout the world. The fact that we have young people already, and not so young people, going out every week into the streets talking to people about Jesus. Kelly right there is one of the examples. In fact, we had a wonderful testimony just recently by Fred. You should probably all know Fred, of course, one of our bass players, that his daughter was out in town with some friends when she was approached from somebody in this church and witnessed to them about Jesus, and she came to church the next meeting and was reconciled with her father. Hello? There was a vision last night from one of the leaders of the church. Those of you who were here, you witnessed it. They had this vision of the river of God. The river of God is very important. You may get a little tired of hearing about it or hear a song about it. But the river of God comes from the throne of life. It is the river of God that produces all of the fruit and the growth of the trees of righteousness. The tree of life bears 12 different manner of fruits, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. So therefore, we need to understand that we are a church that believes in the healing power of God. We believe that God wants to knock you down, hallelujah, and change your life and just encourage you to stop thinking the way you're thinking. He wants to do everything. He wants to be your ever-present help in a time of need. But more than anything else, he wants you to love him. He wants you to love him. So what kind of church are we? Well, I've written a few things down. I'm going to be going over this more often. As I've already said, we're going to be a church that is going to build around the glory of God, not the glory of man. Man is too fickle to build on. Can somebody say amen? The scripture says, cursed is every man who trusts in man. Now, the reason I'm saying that, it doesn't mean to say that you can't trust your brother, your sister, your spouse, your friends. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is, I guarantee you that whatever way you've been hurt, and you've all been hurt, could we agree on that? You were hurt by flesh. You have never been hurt by God. You've been hurt by flesh. People let you down. Your parents let you down. Your teachers let you down. Your spouses let you down. Your children let you down. Your boss let you down. Your pastor let you down. People let you down. You got hurt, rejected, dejected. You got insulted. It all happened by man. It was not God that did it. There is a thief in this world. We're a church that understands that there are forces of darkness to come against you all the time. The guys were telling me that went down there to Woodstock yesterday that while they were on the green praising God, there was a little witch's coven doing their thing in the same place. There are forces of darkness on this earth that hate you and want to destroy you and make your life miserable. John 10:10 says the thief comes not except for one thing, to kill, to destroy, to break, to bankrupt, to divide. These things are something that he's very good at and has been doing for thousands of years. And therefore, I would encourage you that in John 10:10, it goes on and Jesus said, but I've come to give you life and give you plenty of it. And if you're not living an abundant life, then I'd encourage you to seek God for his abundant life, because it is a promise to everybody. So if you're feeling, well, it's all right for you, then you're wrong. Because it's all right for you. Whatever life you're living, it can improve and go from strength to strength and faith to faith and glory to glory. But you may have heard Kelly's testimony. You have to give him everything. You have to pour it out. As soon as you hold on to your own opinion, remember, it's going to be of no value. Paul said, I've got no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. So let's just press on. We are a church that is based on the word. If you have a problem with anything that we're doing, I want to pretty much guarantee you my confidence is quite high in the Word. That I can show you scriptures, stories, principles, that everything we do is based on the truth. We believe that in the beginning was the Word, and that there was nothing before it. We are a church that believes in the strength of the Word, the power of the Word, that salvation comes by the Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, that you're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but His Word will never pass away. So I encourage you, if you're not a lover of the Word, you may struggle in some of the things in the future. All right. So we're an apostolic church, a missional church, a generous church. We are a praising church, hallelujah, in case you hadn't noticed. We believe in the high praises of God. We don't just believe in nice little tunes. We believe in the high praises of God. If you're not... it's going to be really noisy in heaven, by the way. We are likened in heaven, not just to the sound of many waters, but the sound of thunder. And there's only us there. There's no weather in heaven. The sound of thunder. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? When we get to heaven, the praise is going to be so loud, it's going to be like thunder. So if you're afraid of thunderstorms now, you need to get delivered. Hallelujah. Because heaven's going to be a glorious, noisy, beautiful place. We believe that the kingdom of God is a future reality when Jesus totally reigns. Right now, he does not totally reign. We live in the present evil age. The Bible says we are still under the sway of the wicked one. But his kingdom can come now by faith. So therefore, you can live in the kingdom of God today. And in the kingdom of God, there is no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no disease, no poverty. In the kingdom of God, there's no shame, no guilt, no accusation, no condemnation in the kingdom of God. That's what we believe. So therefore, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're free of all those things that this world has to offer you. This is all quick stuff. We're a transgenerational church. We believe that young people can do mighty things for God. I don't care how old you are. Young people can do mighty things. They can pray for the sick. They can go out and preach. They can lay hands on people. They can prophesy. We have got many schools going on right now where we're training young people. We have nothing but confidence in young people. Can you hear me? Not only do we believe in young people, we believe that the older people are totally valuable. And we need you to invest in the next generation. The Bible says that King David served his God in his generation. And we want to be a people that can say, I serve my God in my generation. And then I handed on everything that I have to the next people. We must be a people that leave a legacy. Can you say amen? The Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And the biggest part of that inheritance is an inheritance of faith, an impartation. Steve's grandfather was a preacher. His father was a preacher. And now God is using him supernaturally because there's a legacy that has come down to him. Can you say amen? Amen. These are important things. It's no good just raising up children in the ways of this world. In fact, the Bible says that those who love this world are an enemy of God. How challenging is that? Praise God. We need to keep our eyes focused on what God is doing. So we are a transgenerational. Another thing I believe in that Dr. Leon preached while he was here, and that was that Samson, who had once he got old and lost his sight, I want to say this, many of us have lost our sight, have lost our vision, have lost our way. Can some of you identify with what I'm saying? I'm talking about the people a little older, that you knew what it was like to feel the way Kelly felt and way Kristen was speaking or Alice was speaking when you were young, this fervency for God, this love for Jesus, but because of this and that and the other. And you know what happened? Flesh let you down, flesh let you down, flesh let you down, flesh let you down. And in the end, we think that it's God who's not moving when it's flesh that lets you down. And so what I'm saying is this, is I found that the young people, what happened to Samson, is that after Samson got his strength back, he still couldn't see. And the Bible very clearly says a lad led him by the hand. And I want to say that these young people are helping to lead us and inspire us and encourage us. Sure, they don't have the wisdom we've got. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know the word like we do. They haven't had the experience that we've got, but they're willing to work with us. So I want to encourage you, young people and old, we are a transgenerational church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So therefore, if you think it's only the kids up the front, well, it ain't, because I'm up there with them. I'm a kid too. Thank you. You interrupt me again, I'll rub your head. Hallelujah. That's Xavier, by the way. He's an old vet now. He's been saved about 4 months, I think, or something. Yeah. We're also a multiracial church. But one thing I want to say, and this is maybe a bit confusing, we're not a multicultural church. We have one culture, the kingdom of God. We're a multiracial church. We have friends here this morning from Mexico, Guatemala, Puerto Rico, Australia, wherever the heck that is. We have them from Africa. We got anybody from Jamaica here this morning, man? Yeah, lady. Let me say it again. We're a multiracial church, but we are not a multicultural church. There's one culture. The Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. That's our culture. That's our culture. We're not an American church. We're a church in America. Is that offensive to some of you? Let me say it again. We're not an American church. We're a church in America. We're a church that loves and supports Israel. We believe the Jews are chosen people. We believe the Jews are relevant in the heart and the eyes of God. There's many other things I could talk about, but I just want to close on some of these scriptures. If you've got one of these, please take this home and read it this week. We are a loving church. Now, I'm saying this. We've got a little baby at the back. Could you stand up? This is the first baby I see. Baby, stand up with your mum. See that little baby? Let me ask you, mums, what can I just ask you there? Don't embarrass you. What would you say was that baby's main priority? Just yell it out. Sleeping, what else? Right? What does she need from you? Food, what else? Love. Hang on. Pardon? To be held, what else? It needs food, needs to be held, needs to be protected. Needs to be clothed. This is why we have pastors. No, don't laugh at me. Okay, now, who else has got a five-year-old? Any parent here with a five-year-old, stand up. What does your five-year-old need? Constant attention. What else? Guidance constantly. That's a good one. You see, when they get 5 years old, they're no longer in your arms. A baby doesn't need guidance. They just go, me, 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 me. And after that, me and me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say it again. You see, a baby in arms, they've got one focus. Me, me, and moi. Get my point? Now, already a five-year-old needs guidance, they need education, they need instruction, they need discipline. Is somebody with me? Anybody got any teenagers here? Stand up and tell me what they need. Okay. A lot of guidance. Spiritual impartation. Vision. Oh, that's the end of it, but let's carry on. Prayer.
All of this, a focus on
focus off herself. Give that lady a prize. Hallelujah. Pardon? Oh, I need to be listened to. Last one. Communication. So they need guidance. They need communication. They need to be listened to. But what was yours? You focus off themselves. Okay, spiritual teenagers, get on your knees and repent. If you're coming to church, I want to say this. If you're coming to church and it's still me, 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 guess how much of your opinion we're going to listen to? Thank you. But me, 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 me. Yes, yes, we're here. We'll stroke, we'll hold, we'll protect. But if we do it for more than 6 months, boy, are you in problem. Can you hear what I'm saying? We're not going to be a stroking church. We're going to be a church that's going to give guidance, impartation, vision, education, discipline, love. That is love. I'm defining love. I don't want to hear that this word love is one of the most meaningless words in the English dictionary. Hear what I'm saying. If you have been saved 5 years and you still want to be held and stroked and all you hear is me, 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 then you have no idea what love is, so don't judge me. You have no idea what love is, and therefore don't talk about love. Because a baby doesn't know what love is. A baby only knows me, 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 me. And teenagers need to be guided away from themselves. That's love. If you've been saved 5 years and all you want is us to put our arms around you and feel sorry for you, all I can say is I'm not quite sure what church you've been going to, but they probably never introduce you to all of Jesus, only the Lamb. And that's why you've been lying down for 5 years. And it's time to stand up. Let me explain. That's what love is. My son sent me some pictures just 2 days ago of all of the graveyards of the U.S. military around the world. There were pictures of them all around, from the Philippines, France, Belgium, Germany, all around the world, pictures of graves of American military throughout the wars. Those men were 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And they died with a rifle in their hand, with a uniform on. And they weren't expecting anything else. So all I'm saying is, did they love their country? Yes, they did. Therefore, I would say that love is a sacrifice. Love is a verb. Love should expect one thing. The Lord chastens whom he loves. We've got a young man now who's getting ready to go to boot camp. And he is going to really love his drill instructor. For the first 10 weeks, he is going to hate that man with a passion. But in the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's going to suddenly get it. And said, this man is training me to save my life. You are looking at a man who wants to train you to save your life. Because I love you. I think our country is in a desperate place. I think our country is in possibly, probably, the worst place it's been in its history. I think we are in greater danger today than we were before the Civil War. Before the Depression, before the First World War. We were in no danger then. Even before the Second World War. Certainly the other wars that were, some of them, futile. Our country is in a desperate place, and I just believe God is looking for people who are willing to sign up and understand what it really means to love God and be loved by God. For God so loved the world that he sacrificed, brutally sacrificed, mercilessly sacrificed his only son, so you and I could have everlasting life. So I want you to think this week about defining love. Because as a singular word, I love rugby, I love curry, I love hamburgers and hot dogs, and I love God. Just makes no sense when you say it that way. But when you begin to have a biblical definition and understanding of what love is, it will help us change our culture. Can you say amen? Let's stand one more time, and we want to give thanks to God. We want to release all of you. Gone a few minutes over, but we are blessed. We've already asked the Lord to reveal those who need salvation, and we've had those who raise their hands. We want to have a party. We are a party in church. We like to party. We like to celebrate. We like to do crazy things. We're a church that loves to pray and worship and intercede. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands one more time. Let's ask the Lord just to come and touch us one more time and think about his love. Think about his love. We just thank you for all of it now. We look forward to seeing you tonight. God's going to bring his healing power to this house, and we need you to be there. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.